Welcome to the From Burnout to Recovery Show with your host, Dr. Kate. This is where your journey to burnout recovery starts. Are you feeling overwhelmed or like work has become unmanageable? Join me and my guests for open and honest conversations about burnout recovery from the comfort of the front porch. I am here to help you build your resilience and prepare you for burnout in a whole new way through a variety of perspectives. Move past the idea that burnout can only be addressed by avoidance and work to integrate recovery into your daily life. Relax, take a breath. The From Burnout to Recovery Show starts now. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the From Burnout to Recovery Show with Dr. Kate on Transformation Talk Radio and member of the Cornelia Stephanie Media Group. I'm your host, Dr. Kate, and of course, I'm always excited to welcome you to the show. Remember, as you are enjoying the show, I want to make sure that you hit that subscribe button and that you get the notification so you don't miss any of the action from any of our amazing guests or the recovery moments that are offered. You can also find my show and a plethora of amazing information by downloading the Cornelia Stephanie Media Group app on either through the Apple Store or the Google Play Store. So some ways that you can stay connected with us and with me and other world's best influencers. Today, we are going to be joined by our guest, Melissa Rolfs. And she is a certified holistic health and life coach, helping busy women break free from sugar and stress, emotional eating, so they can be calm, confident, and in control. She is committed to empowering women to break free from dieting, emotional eating, and self-image issues so they can ditch the diet mentality and feel empowered in their own skin. After her own tumultuous history with food, withholding, and then later in life binging, she learned how to deal with the core issues around her broken relationship with food. As a result, she felt called to go to school and learn to teach other women how to do the same. She graduated from the Health Coach Institute as a holistic health and life coach in 2018 and is the proud owner of Free to Be Coaching. She is a proud Boilermaker alumna living in Arizona with her husband, Chad, and two kiddos. Melissa, I am so excited to invite you to the show today. I think what you talk about and what you help women with in regard to our space and relationship with food is so incredibly important, especially in the burnout space and when we are looking to find recovery. So welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here and share.
Yeah, awesome. So Melissa, to get us started, as we ask all of our guests, tell us a little bit about your own experience with burnout and your journey to recovery.
I think I lived in like a complete state of burnout and I didn't know any differently, to be honest with you. It was kind of what was modeled, kind of the environment that I grew up in was go, 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 go. So by the time I got to college, I was doing all of the things, involved in every activity under the sun. And that carried into adulthood and kind of hit the fan when we had a newborn baby who wasn't sleeping. Our daughter had some undiagnosed food allergies and some sensory challenges. My husband was traveling for work. And on top of that, I had just gotten diagnosed with PTSD from childhood trauma. So I think it was just this cumulative effect of living in burnout that kind of was exacerbated when children and no sleep were in the picture.
Yeah. I think you said something that a lot of our listeners and I think people experience is that go, go, go mentality, right? And you mentioned it in regard to like going into the college space. And I think that, you know, for some of our college students that may be listening, and I used to work in that space in higher education in student affairs. So working with those student leaders that did everything, right? And I used to be one of those student leaders that did everything. And I think that's something we've really been socialized, that's a normal part of, whether it be in college or a normal part of the workspace or careers and those kinds of things. At what point did you find yourself recognizing that maybe that wasn't as healthy for you?
I think it was how I was responding to my children, and the way I was responding to things around me. I think, you know, when it's just you, you can really kind of contain things. But when there's other people that are kind of triggering you, you can't so much control that. And so I think it was just visible in how I was responding to things and not showing up in the world as I wanted to. I was crabby. I didn't have energy. I was not a full-time person to be around. And I shudder to think at like how that impacted my kids, you know?
Yeah, that is, I think that's so important for us to remember, is that when we're not showing up the way maybe we used to, or the way we want to, and really considering that, what is that indicating? What's going on in your life that is creating this space where you're not showing up in the way that you want to, or you used to, in those kinds of pieces? So when you started to get to that recognition piece, what were some of the first things you did in your life to change that or rein in your burnout?
Gosh, there were a lot of things. I think the first thing was acknowledging that I had a problem and getting help. That was the biggest thing. So met with a therapist. And then I learned about the impact of food and what we put in our bodies and how it impacts that our mood and our energy. I think so many times we think only of food being associated with weight and how we look, but there's so much more of an impact on that. And that really blew my mind. So I definitely changed how I ate. I changed I think my idea of self-care really changed, because I'm like, in order for me to show up and be the person, the wife, the mom, the woman that I want to be, I need to take care of me. And that means I need to eat regularly. I need to eat nourishing foods. I need to get enough sleep. I need to make sure I'm hydrated. Like, it's these basic things that we know, but it's almost like because I had kids, it just all went out the window, and it needed to come back into the forefront of my mind. So those are just some things I did to heal and get, you know, started on that journey. Cause for me, living off of sugar was leading to the burnout, and I didn't realize it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can definitely relate to that. When I would be this, it's funny because we're right around, you know, we just kind of came through the show. It's coming out a little later in the year, but as we're recording, it's just after Halloween. And so high candy time. There's candy in my house that does not need to be in my house right now. And what's funny is that I know for myself that when I get to a high stress place, the first thing I want to reach for is something sugary. And yep. Yeah.
And that's because the dopamine, right? Like, it triggers that dopamine release in our brains and it makes us feel good. And so we have that like, the stress is gone, but then like the blood sugar comes crashing down and we're on this roller coaster. And
yes. Yeah. I'm just picturing back to some times that when I worked in higher education and I worked on a college campus, and I remember I would end days and I would look in my trash can and there would be like 15 candy wrappers. And that piece of like, and not even remembering actually eating them. So for maybe some of our listeners who also struggle with the sugar, I'll call it coping skill at this point. So maybe their coping skill right now is sugar. What are some ways that they can, you know, shift that or reframe that or try something different?
I think two main things come up and they're pretty easy. Like, I think we tend to overcomplicate. Don't do that, because that creates more stress. But you know, ask yourself, what am I looking for in this moment? Because a lot of times we're looking for something and we think that the sugar is going to satisfy, and it might temporarily, but really get to the why and ask, what am I looking for? What do I need that I'm reaching for this? Because a craving can be a messenger. We just need to figure out what that means. So that would be my first thing. And the next thing is really easy. Stay hydrated. A lot of times we can get a sugar craving and we're actually dehydrated. So just make sure that you're getting your water in. You know, the recommendation is half of your body weight in ounces. But if you do feel that sugar craving and you've, you know, done the work of what am I looking for, and you still have the craving, maybe drink some water, let it sit for 5 to 10 minutes and see where you're at.
Yeah. I really appreciate both of those. So key pieces. So when you're getting a craving, and maybe it's not a craving of sugar, but a food craving of some kind, first that reconnection with body and mind and asking, you know, what am I looking for? What am I experiencing? What's happening in the moment? Maybe do some grounding breaths to kind of connect and see if you can, you know, tap into the feeling and what you're looking for in that space. And I absolutely could not agree more with the stay hydrated piece. That's so funny. I have been doing a refocus, I would say, on my own physical wellness and doing so with the help of a coach and those kinds of things. And one of the first things they're like, okay, you know, 100 ounces to 120 ounces of water a day. And I was not drinking anywhere near that. And the first little bit, like the first couple of days, it was definitely like, I think I was in the bathroom all the time. And, you know, it takes time for your body to adjust. But now that I've been doing it for at least, oh gosh, it's been about 8 weeks with this hydration, I've definitely noticed some differences in, I don't crave the sugar as much in those aspects. And, you know, and I recognize that I feel thirsty as opposed to feeling hungry. So I love that you brought that up, because until you try it, until you really get yourself hydrated, you don't realize probably how dehydrated you've been all this time.
And it's an easy thing, right? I mean, it's just, you know, maybe being a little bit more intentional, carrying your water with you, but
have my water right here.
So you've got it. And you know, I had a client that I worked with, and we discovered for her, she was in her car a lot. I'm like, well, then carry your bottle in the car, maybe keep a backup. Like, just, you kind of want to be prepared.
Yes. Yeah. What are some other ways that, you know, folks that maybe have similar struggles to what you described in, you know, you talked about that self-care and needing to get that back, that focus back on self, and that you had, you know, when you had children, that the focus went almost completely to them. So what were some ways that you circled back around and honored yourself?
I think the biggest thing was time. And I will never forget, we had just moved to South Dakota, and our daughter was in preschool, and she was like, you know, I think she could stay here and do like the mom's morning out program and stay a little bit longer. And your son could, you know, do the other program, and you could have a little bit of time to yourself. And I was like, what? Because I think you just get so used to always having someone and needing to do something that the idea of having time alone, it kind of threw me. But I think that was the baby step, because having that time and space to kind of just be with myself and my thoughts and kind of process was like, okay. And it gave me the opportunity to figure out, okay, these are some things that maybe I'd like to work on, and this is how I can do it. Because I think we just need the time and the space sometimes to do that. So yeah, that was a really big thing. And it was pretty simple, and everybody liked it. Like, I didn't, you know, I wasn't like leaving my children home alone, or they weren't abandoned. Like, they were having fun. They were with people, they were loved, they were cared for, and I knew they were safe.
Yeah. Yeah. That's amazing. So finding the spaces for yourself and knowing that it is okay, and not just okay, but needed and necessary for you to have that time and space to yourself, and important for kids too, because then they had some time and space doing their own things as well. Yeah.
Absolutely. And I don't think like taking a bath or taking a nap or taking a shower, that doesn't count. Like, you need time like alone. If you do that during your time alone, that's fine. But I'm saying that, like, if you're, you know, your husband is like, okay, you can have some time. Okay, I'm gonna go take a bath. That never counted for me.
Yeah. I think that's a really important point too, for our listeners, in that, you know, self-care, real self-care, should go beyond, you know, I will call it, I want to say menial, but it's not like that. It's the minimum, like that's the bare minimum. Getting the opportunity to brush your teeth and take a shower or take a bath is like, that is the bare minimum of a human need. So that's your human right. And so I think we want to always say that, like, self-care is something that is in addition to that. So maybe, yes, you do use the time while you're, so I use the time brushing my teeth to read a post-it note that's on my mirror. And that helps me like frame my day and consider a couple of thoughts and like live in the space of gratitude during those 2 minutes that I'm brushing my teeth. So I have, it's an add-on to that daily, you know, human right of self-care and those kind of things. So I think that that's an important piece that you brought up as well.
Thank you. I think a lot of times we think of self-care as like, oh, I'm going to go get my nails done or my toes done. And that's good. I do think if you break it down, there is a difference between pampering and self-care. I really do. And I think that self-care is like the basic human need that we have to take care of ourselves and show up and be kind human beings.
Yes. Yeah. I think that that's an important distinction that you just, that you made, you know, for our audience and for me too, in that piece of you said it, there's a difference between pampering and self-care. And that actually, it struck me a little bit because I had my nails done today, but that's, there is absolutely a difference in regard to, you know, that pampering of feeling and those kinds of things and the practices that I do for myself to make sure that I'm in my happiest, healthiest state. So yeah. What are some other things that you incorporate in your life right now that help you be your happiest, healthiest self?
I think for me, the time and space is a big one. Obviously my kids are in school during the day, so that looks different, but even when they're in school, even when they're not at school, I'm getting up before everybody else. And I just have that time to myself in the morning where I journal, I read, I pray. Like I just have focused time where I can just kind of plan out the day and get like in the headspace of this is what needs to happen. And this is how it's going to look if it goes according to plan. So that's been a big one, is giving myself time and space again. And I think too, movement is a really big one for me. I try to move 30 minutes a day just for my mental health more than anything. I always drink hot lemon water when I'm up in the morning. And I think really having good boundaries has been a really good form of self-care too. Mm-hmm.
What are some examples of some of the boundaries that you have found are helpful for you to set?
Well, like it's okay to say no. I think that, you know, sometimes if you have been that person who's been involved in all the things, you can fall into people pleasing and wanting to be accepted and liked. And just, I think having, you know, a healthy no practice in place. Because I think too, with that, we feel bad maybe saying no, but we also need to acknowledge that that gives somebody else the opportunity to say yes. Because if we're saying yes to everything, we're kind of being greedy.
Absolutely. Yeah. Melissa, I am so glad that you have joined us on the show today to have a conversation here on the front porch to talk to us a little bit more about burnout and your recovery and some of the self-care pieces that you incorporate. If you were to leave our audience with one more piece of advice, what would that be?
I think it would just to know that you matter and that you're worth taking care of and that self-care isn't selfish. And I think especially as a mom, that can get a bad rap. There can be some judgment associated with, you know, you exercising or you doing something that you need to do as a mom. Let that go. You're only responsible for yourself and how you live, and that's what you're accountable to. So make sure that you're taking care of yourself and let that judgment go.
Yeah. Oh, that's so important. So dear listener, take a deep breath and let that judgment go and know that you are accountable to yourself first and foremost and most importantly, because if you are not here, you cannot take care of the other people around you. So you have to be accountable to yourself first in order to do that. Such amazing tidbits and pieces of advice. Listeners, if you are enjoying this and you have not hit that subscribe button yet, I want to make sure you do. But you know someone who probably needs to hear this conversation too. So be sure to share this with them and let them know that you're thinking about them and that you think that there's something in here that they would be helpful for them to hear. Melissa, where can our audience find out more about you?
Sure. My website is free2bcoaching.com. So free2bcoaching.com.
Awesome. And we will have that link and the ways to connect with you available in the show notes so our listeners can find that. Thank you so much for joining us on the show today. It's truly a pleasure in talking with you.
Thank you for having me. It was great to connect and talk on the front porch.
Yes. I am so grateful to our guest, Melissa Rolfs, for joining us today and giving us some really easy first steps to help us when we are feeling overwhelmed and we are starting to recognize that what we are experiencing is burnout. And, you know, I was really struck by the piece of drinking water and making sure that you were hydrated enough and how important that can be and how much of an impact that can actually have on us, especially when we are feeling super stressed out or overwhelmed. Because when you are in a go, 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 go mindset and your body is really just going through the motions, not drinking water throughout the day and not taking the time to eat and have a nutritious meal can really have an impact by the end of the day, and then by the end of the week, and then by the end of the month, that taking that simple step of reminding yourself to do those things can really create a big impact in your life, helping you get out of that stress state and into a state where you can make other decisions in regard to enhancing your self-care and finding ways to get yourself back to your happiest, healthiest self. So we're going to go ahead and move into our recovery moment now. And this is actually a pretty quick one, but it's an important one. And it's one that you can incorporate just about any time. So you may not need to get yourself into a safe space, but of course, I still want you to consider the space around you and make sure that you are able to pay attention to the recovery moment in this space. The technique that we're going to talk about today is called finger breathing. And this technique is excellent for grounding, centering, and calming the mind. You can incorporate this practice whenever you wish for a few moments of mindfulness. You can be sitting, driving, standing, or walking. Begin with the thumb at the base of the pinky finger on the same hand. And I have that here for those who are viewing this on video. With the inhale, gently move the thumb up to the tip of the pinky. So from the base to the tip of the pinky, and inhale. Pause briefly between the inhale and the exhale and softly press the tips of the thumb and pinky together. With the exhale, move the thumb gently back down the finger. Continue this practice with the other fingers. So we'll move to your ring finger now, beginning with your thumb at the base of your ring finger. And inhale as you press the tip of your thumb to the top of your finger. Hold and press the fingers together. Exhale and move your thumb back down your finger. Move to your middle finger. Press your thumb against the base of your finger. Inhale. And move your finger up to the tip of your middle finger. Hold and press your thumb and middle finger together. Exhale and bring your thumb back down to the base. Move to your index finger. Press your thumb against the base of your index finger. Inhale as you move your thumb to the tip of your index finger. Hold your breath and press your thumb and index finger together. Exhale and bring your finger back down to the base of your index finger. You can move back through your fingers from index to middle to ring to pinky and do this as many times as you like, using one hand, both hands, or alternating. As you move through the fingers and breathe, rest your awareness on the synchronization of the breath and the movement in the hands. Remember that for more recovery moments, you can follow me at Dr. Kate Steiner on Instagram, and be sure to subscribe to the From Burnout to Recovery Show YouTube channel. I am so grateful for our guest, Melissa Rolfs. Be sure to reach out to her at her website, www.free2bcoaching.com, free2bcoaching.com. And I am grateful to each of you for listening. Thank you for joining us today on the From Burnout to Recovery Show with Dr. Kate on Transformation Talk Radio. I'm Dr. Kate, and I wish you peace on your journey. Thank you for joining me on the front porch today. Remember, if you're ready to assess your current level of burnout and see where we might be able to help you, be sure to take the Feeling Crispy quiz on my website at drkatesteiner.com, and be well, my friends. Thank you for joining me, Dr. Kate, on the From Burnout to Recovery Show, where you are starting your journey to burnout recovery. You are invited to join me on the front porch every second and fourth Friday of the month on transformationtalkradio.com to continue growing in resilience and integrating recovery into your daily life. If you would like to learn more or find out how to work with me, visit liftwellnessconsulting.com.